to verse 8 and down. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice." What does true justice mean?
According to God's law.
Exactly. Not this facade, not this image, you know, not the way we think it ought to be, but actually looking to God to see what justice looks like. Show mercy and compassion. These are important words in the Christian life. Everyone to his brother, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint. What's flint like? It's really hard and sharp and brittle and just, I mean, it's like the hardest of really rocks that you can find, isn't it? It's very hard, impenetrable. And refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit. You know, it's not just people talking when the word of God is coming forth. It's God speaking. Whenever it's being properly relayed, it's God speaking. When the prophets spoke it and said, "Thus saith the Lord," it wasn't people speaking. You know, most of those prophets got killed. You know, Isaiah has this the most beautiful display. The book of Isaiah is amazing. Do you know they sawed him in two? That was God's words that he spoke. And how did they receive it? You know, I just can't help but get around that thing of the hearts being like flint. That's a hard problem to straighten out, isn't it? I mean, like, have you ever looked at another person and said, "Man, their heart just seems so hard"? Have you ever looked at yourself and realized that maybe your heart's a little hard? What's the remedy for it? I want to turn to Ezekiel and we'll take a look. I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to start at verse 22. Ezekiel 36. It's page 1,000 in my Bible. Okay. Starting at verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." And listen to this, verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." We need to ask God for it, don't we? You know, I mean, continually. Even after we get saved and sanctified, and we're in that sanctification process, I think we need to continue to ask, what is that that cleansing, that sprinkling of clean water? What do you think that represents? Yeah, I mean, we could definitely relate it to like baptism because we get dipped in the waters of baptism, but I think here it's talking about God's word. We see the same terminology in the New Testament whenever it talks about husbands loving their wives, being the spiritual leader, washing them in the water of the word. And so this is a sprinkling of, so what was their story? What was their story that Ezekiel's talking about? This was after they were conquered, then he was prophesying that he would bring them back, right? We've been reading about that in Zechariah, haven't we? About how they're rebuilding the temple. He's establishing worship, and he's sprinkling them with clean water. Read Nehemiah. Some years later, when they started rebuilding the walls, they realized they hadn't really been seeking the Lord. They hadn't been making God's word really the center of how they viewed things. It wasn't true justice until they got back to God's word. That's the sprinkling of that clean water, I believe, that he's talking about. And so that's what we need, is a new heart. You know, we can change laws. We can outlaw abortion tomorrow. We could do that. I pray we do. And it'll save some lives, but I'm going to tell you, that ain't going to change hearts. Some people's hearts are still going to be hard, and they're still going to want to kill their baby. What we need is an outpouring of the Word of God along with it, so that people's hearts will be changed. That's why I love our Pregnancy Resource Center. Because you know what? They're teaching parenting classes according to the Bible. They're doing Bible study. They don't necessarily tell them that whenever they come in. They say, we'll do parenting classes with you. And you can get free stuff whenever you give so much time to this parenting class. You join a session. We'll give you diapers. You can choose from our little store anything you want. You'll be able to build up like points for that. But you know where that teaching's coming from? The Word of God. They're being sprinkled with clean water so that their hearts can change. You know what our country really needs, and I think you all would agree, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Our country needs a revival. And I'm going to say it's going to have to start in the church. And then that'll lead to an awakening. And then we can see hearts changed. I love that. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Blessed who's the nation whose God is the Lord. It's so important that we understand this. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I'll just give you a couple second blip of my testimony. But I remember when this began to happen to me. God took that heart of flint out of me and put a heart of flesh, and I began to feel pain. I began to experience love for people that I had once despised. I began to forgive things that had been done to me. And at first I thought I was going crazy. And I was like, what is up? Why do I find myself crying about things? Because I wasn't much of a crier. If I was crying, usually it was because I was so mad, and you better be getting away from me because bad stuff was about to happen. I just didn't cry very much. But I can tell you, whenever I started getting that tender heart, I finally realized it was because God took the heart stone away. I read the scripture. And through God's word, he began to build in me a heart that could feel something. And man, so much better. I can feel love now. I can experience like God's love and his forgiveness. And you know, if you'd have told me this before it happened, I'd have said, whatever. It wouldn't have meant a thing to me. But I can say, this is exactly what needs to happen in each person's life. Because we are all hard-hearted. You know what's so interesting about this? One more little thing. In Egypt, they had all these different gods and goddesses and all this stuff. And there was this one god. We saw that god, what was the name of it, on the side of the camper, Isaiah? Anubis. Yeah, so I read up just a little bit about Anubis. Anubis was like the god of the underworld or whatever. And I'm sure I'll probably butcher it up a little bit with the facts. But ultimately, what it basically his job was after a person died, he would go and replace their heart with something that the God who would judge them would not be able to read. They were hoping for a heart of stone because God wouldn't be able to read that heart of stone. And they would actually take their mummies and they would actually put a stone that was shaped as a heart in their body that was left over so that God wouldn't be able to see the bad things that they had done. Isn't it such a distortion?
Our God takes away the heart of stone and gives us a heart that can feel and love. Isn't that awesome?
I felt so bad for that guy with that camper because I don't know why in the world he had that weird God painted on. It was a really fancy decal put on there. There was a bunch of stuff on the back. I was afraid to go look at it too close. Kind of freaked me out. But anyway, I was thinking, I'm glad I don't have a heart of stone. Shelly? Betray them. Mm-hmm. Confess your sins, and that's where we're forgiven. You know, so you can see how Satan is always working with this counterfeit thing. You know what I'm saying? And trying to work against what is the true gospel out there. And so I want to praise God that God is good, and He still saves people, and He does it through Jesus. It's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him, right? John 14:6. Praise God. Well, let me pray for you guys. Dear Father, I just want to pray that You would bless us as we have testified together of Your greatness. Thank You for the testimonies tonight. Thank You for even the testimonies about where we were whenever the Twin Towers were attacked. Lord, thank You that we know that You're still God and You'll never give up Your throne to anybody. Lord, You're sovereign. You have a plan. You're going to bring humanity through. And in the end, You're coming back. We're in the midst. And Lord, the only thing we're really responsible for is to obey Your voice and just to do what You say. You're going to take care of all the details. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just walk with You, that we would have confidence in You, that we would know that You have called us to such a great salvation because You have a plan for our life even now. And from there, we're going to experience eternity of everlasting joy that we can never even imagine this side of heaven. It's going to be better and more awesome, and it's going to be forever. But Lord, until that time, when we get called home, help us to be effective for the kingdom here. Use us in kingdom work. Use us in the family business. Help us to know that it's not us doing really any of the results whatsoever. It's all You. But Lord, we get to have joy in knowing we got to be a part of what You were doing. And so help us, Lord, just to live for You each and every day. And I love it that even in Ezekiel there, You're talking about how it was going to be a testimony to the nations. Lord, help America and what's happening right now to draw us out into the greatest revival ever, that we could be a testimony to Your greatness to the nations. Father, please work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight.